Okay, we're about to continue with the fourth chapter in the Maimer of the Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li from the Baal HaTanya, as explained by the Chassidus Mevoaris. And before we start on page Chaf Beis, let's just go through the Kitzur Perek Gimel on page Chaf Aleph. So the last paragraph on page Chaf Aleph, just to get everybody back to speed. Inyan Ha'aris Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim V'Chodesh Elhu. What's the concept of the illumination of the 13 attributes of mercy in the month of Elul? The concept is Shehanitzos Ha'aloki Sheba Adam, the godly spark that is within a person, that is called the Sar Kale, where the word Yisrael comes from, the governance of God's attribute of being close to the Jewish people. It even comes to arouse someone who's very far away from godliness. And that person is like the attribute analogous to the field. And even someone very far away who's like a desert, which is like a land that's not planted. It's like a person who's that the light of holiness is not able to settle within that person because of his actions, speech, and thought that are not towards Hashem. And in the month of Elul, Hashem's attribute of mercy comes, Shigamhu Yoshuv Yiskal Hashem, that the person has the ability, if he wants, to return and get close to Hashem. But the person on his own behalf must seek out and search for that godly spark in him that's been lost to him through his evil actions. As the pasuk says, "Vikashta mishamas Hashem lokecha," and you will search out from there Hashem your God. And when the person arouses compassion over that godly spark that is within him that is presently in exile, then he's able to come to the love of Hashem. So basically, as we said, that the month of Elul is where that spark is reignited, which encourages the Jew to say, Hashem still wants me. The Jew has to do the work to find the godly spark in himself that's been lost, that's been in exile. And the way you do that is by searching out your ways, look at the things that have buried that godly spark. And when you realize what you've done, you should feel very embittered over that and change. And so now, here, the critical point that the Baal HaTanya is revealing is that the whole nature of tshuva in the month of Elul is not so much to avoid being punished on the day of judgment, but it's rather to reclaim that which has been lost within the person. That innate love and closeness that a person's soul is capable of having with Hashem that has been sent into Golus by one's own actions, that one should have rahmanas, one should have mercy on one's own godly soul, enable it to once again return into the loving arms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that can only happen when you correct those behaviors that have caused it to go into exile. That, and then when you do that, then when Rosh Hashanah comes, and Hashem is able to give you the tremendous Hitaruta de la'ela, the arousal from above, to really feel that closeness, then you're capable because your antennas are ready to receive it. Okay, that's what we've been up to in these first three chapters. Okay, moving on to the fourth chapter, and before we start what's upstairs, let's go below, is on the right-hand side, where you look at the italicized little paragraph that's in the brackets. He says, "Beperek ze yivar mayas the adam she'enu margish es harachmona shel nitzot alo kishavo." This chapter is going to go to step B, plan B, as it were. explains what should a person do who doesn't feel any compassion over the godly spark inside of himself that's been lost. In other words, not everybody feels this in the month of Elul. You may have read all this and you say, you know what? I don't feel that much compassion for my godly soul. It's just what you're telling me. I don't feel any of it. You know, I understand everything you're saying, but I just don't feel any compassion for my godly soul. Which many people are in that category. Kate said, "Yuchal atzliach levakish ulechapis Hashem elokecha legalza nitzot talokishvo." So how is the person able to succeed in searching out for Hashem and to reveal that godly spark inside of him? What happens if it's not welling inside of you, this tremendous compassion for this lost neshama inside of you? That's what chapter 4 is going to deal with. So now we're back upstairs. Let's say a person checks into his actions. V'lo yisorer bo midas rachmonus, v'lo yismamer libo bekirbo. And there does not arouse within himself the attribute of mercy. He does not feel, his heart does not feel embittered inside of him. Im hayos shemamik b'machshavto, eich nofal nitzot zolokus b'golos b'soch nafshos. In spite of the fact that he deeply thought about how his godly spark has fallen into exile within his soul, So he should take and carry into his heart the following analogy that I'm going to give. So now we've had one very important analogy with the king going into the field. So now he's going to give you a very next important analogy. He says, "Ki yos teva ha'adam kishikoyev lo afil tziporin raglo machmas shenoga be'even margi shake'ev b'mocho mitzdar." We know the nature of a person, that if there is a pain, even in his toenail, because he banged against a stone, you stubbed your toe, and your toenail is hurting, right? The person feels the pain in his brain, and has great pain over that, right? And let's understand this. Ach hainu kishe'ever hanaguf odenu mechuber bo terem nechtach. But that pain only exists if the body part that has been hurt is still connected to the main body before that limb is severed. Avol kishechotchin ha'ever, but when you sever the body part before, and then the body part is damaged, Ein ha-moach margish es ha-kev. The brain does not feel the pain. V'nei shehu nichras v'nifrad mishrosho. Because it's been totally separated from its roots. So let's take a look below and explain with the Chassidus Mevaris up to this point. So he says, again, on the right-hand column, and we could skip the bold, we just read it. We'll go to the italicized part. Adam zeh she'enu margish es ha-rachmonish al-nitzus ha-loki shebo. A person does not feel, Rachmanis, does not feel compassion over his godly spark inside of him. All of these bainim besibas dover seguv, he should really look into why does he not feel bad over that. Madua ina margish, why is there no feelings over here? But I know that's because, I could skip the bold because we just read it. And let's read the bottom paragraph on the right hand side. He says, "Afilu tziporin harego, even the toe of the foot, toenail, she'ein bochius, really doesn't have life, k'moivori haguf, like a regular body part. It's not as alive as the actual foot. It's just something that grows on it. And ve'ein eloket tzomech, it's only like something that grows. She'tzomech mekatnos gadol, it grows from small to big." But still, all is connected to one's body. It is tied up to the life of the body. So therefore, the brain still feels some connection to it and will feel the pain of the nail. V'ha'eder hargashas hakev. But if there would be no feeling of pain on the part of the brain, hu'ochacha, that can only happen, and it's a proof, shekvar nechtach v'nifred min haguf, that the toenail has been severed from the body, v'ein lo chibur im shrosho, and has no attachment to its root. So again, when you're physically harmed, if a part of your body has been wounded, your brain will always acknowledge the pain and will feel the pain. However, if that part of your body has been severed or amputated, God forbid, and is not connected, and then you could stick pins into it all day long and put it in fire, the brain will not feel any pain because there's no connection. Okay, so what does that analogy do for us? Let's go back upstairs into the words of the Baal HaTanya. Kach anachnu bnei Yisrael, so too we, the children of Israel, we are attached and we are very close to Hashem. So therefore, we should be feeling the pain and the blemish that we have blemished and lowered that soul into the exile, this godly soul. Because we are connected to Hashem. And we should feel a certain pain for what we have done. Now, why is it that we are so connected? Ki afal pi shechata, etc., etc. He's quoting the Gemara that says, a Jew, Yisrael. The Gemara says, Yisrael, afal pi shechata, Yisrael. A Jew, even though he has sinned, he is still called a Yisrael. And based on what we've explained in the past, we understand what that means. We've already explained in this mimer that Yisrael means from the word sar kel. That kel, that root of compassion that Hashem has for us, sar, that rules over the Jew with a yud in front on a continuous basis. A Jew by definition, a halachically kosher Jew, I may add, is by definition something that is ruled constantly by Hashem's desire and feeling of closeness to the person. And that manifests itself within the Jewish soul that the Jew has. And a Yisrael, a person who is of that nature, afal pi shechata, even though he has sinned, he still retains that godly element inside of him. Which means, by definition, the Jew is always connected to Hashem. Because that's the definition of Yisrael. Yisrael, by definition, the word by definition means someone very intimately connected to Hashem. It's created in a way that he is connected very closely to Hashem. All the capability is there. V'yeshlo, because of that, v'yeshlo b'chinas nitzus alokos and nisgal, therefore he has this aspect of the godly spirit as we've mentioned above. V'nenem istalak v'manu, and it doesn't leave the person, elishu b'galos, he's just in exile. He's unaware. But it's not like it's gone. And not only that, El Shaddai Nikra Bamalos Madrigas Asar, he is still called with the highest level and attributes of a sar, of an officer. Shubachinas Yisrael, which is the aspect of a Jew on Iskalel, as we mentioned before. And he now mentions another little sub-analogy. Kinenu Doma Malas Hasar Ima Yosef Ishvil Amalas Ezud. You can't compare when a general, when an officer has been taken captive, to just a simple soldier who's taken care of, captive. Because you can still tell the high level of the officer. In other words, a sophisticated, important person, even though he's captured, he's still an important person. Even though he's in someone else's hands, he's still a general. He is a general. So that high level he has, it's not gone. And how do we, and what will happen? Ubitnua achat, and with one movement, he's able to turn himself around from one extreme to the other. Lagamri totally laughs, must come back to the way he always was. The general is always a general. He just doesn't, he's been taken away from his troops. But you just get him out, just get him out. He's the general again. Right? So this is what a Jew is. That's what the Jew is. We're always totally connected to Hashem at all times. This gives the Jew the ability to do tshuva. However, Achmash Eino Margish Benavsho Hakeev V'Hapagam. But by virtue of the fact that the person's soul does not feel the pain, does not feel the blemish, we're on page Chav Gimel, must be for only one reason. Hainu Mipnei Shepagam Shepagam Kol Kach At Shenifrad V'Nichras Mishrash L'Gamri. The person must have damaged himself so much that he has caused himself to be separated and cut off totally from his roots. Like the analogy. How is it possible that you cannot feel pain over what destruction he has caused? How's it possible? How's it possible not to realize that your foot's been crushed in an automobile accident? How could you not feel the pain? There's only one way. The foot's been cut off before. And now the opposite. You should have even, it should, this fact that you've cut yourself off from Hashem should arouse even greater compassion. So he doesn't even feel any mercy upon himself. As we've mentioned in other places. Which he explained in other places. Perish, meaning to say. Because our very impoverished intellects are not able to conceptualize the great mercy that should be happening here. Why? Because the attribute of mercy, which is the attribute of Yaakov, is such a powerful attribute that is able to move from one extreme to another, as he will elaborate on as well. Okay, so let's get into the Chassidus verse to explain this even more, although I think it's pretty clear. But let's see how he continues to explain it. We're back on page Chaf Beis, the left-hand column. Again, we're going with the small print, because we just read the big print. Right, but so too the Jews are connected to Hashem. Kach benimshol, so it is in the realities of life. Even the lowest level Jew, as the brackets say, and that's why he's using the toenail as the analogy. The toenail is not exactly the most sophisticated part of the human being. But even that little part that's in pain, that's been hurt, she gives pain to the brain. Even the lowest Jew, is connected to his root, which is the living God. So consequently, a person should be able and needs to feel the spiritual pain over the spiritual spark inside of him, kishuhu nifkam, when it becomes damaged. That you should feel the pain over the damage that's happened through your sins and that's been lowered into exile within the shell, as it were, where it's been buried under an exile influence. And the next paragraph says, even anyone who has sinned and has damaged and lowered the godly spark into exile, still a dying mechuber l'shrosho, still connected to the root. As our rabbis have said, Yisrael, a Jew, even though he sinned, he's still a Jew. A sinner is still called Yisrael. Kniskelel, the perishim Yisrael, as we've already explained what Yisrael means, Sar Kale. Sheish Bahadim Bechinas Kale. He has the aspect of Kale, which means Hashem is close to the person. Ela Shehi, Behel of Agolas, it is hidden, it is in exile. And he says in the next paragraph, Velo Od, not only that, El Shebechinas Zu, the Kale, this aspect of Kale. It's not like the Jew has gone to a lower level of a being in exile. No, he's still the high level of Kael. He had Dayan Sar, that level of Kael, that close Hashem, Sar, it still rules. Shemashal spoke, it rules over the person. Shalachain, therefore, Afal Pi Shuba Galus, even though he's in exile, Na Kael Bi Yosera Vura Lach Shalgalus Bechinosu, it's still easier for him to return and reveal with himself this aspect. This is similar. Not totally, but let's say the same idea. We know that when a baby is developing within the mother, Hamalach comes and teaches the baby the Kol Torah Kula, everything about Torah. And then when the baby about to come out, the Hamalach slaps it on the face, and it forgets its learning. So then what's the whole point? The answer is, but the Torah is still inside the neshama of that baby. Any Torah that you learn is just finding that which you've lost. That's the whole aspect. It's not like you're learning something for the first time. It's deep, deep inside the neshama. That's why a Jew, when they come back to learning, it still is able to penetrate. It's able to accomplish. It's there. You know, we brought down in previous classes, anything that you've done or heard or said, even if you forgot about it, it's still there inside of you. That's the difference between the brain and anything else. And the biggest proof is, through hypnosis, you can bring everything back. How can you bring it back if it wasn't there? You can hypnotize a person, bring him back to being a three-year-old child, and he'll tell you all the terrible things that happened to him, or the good things that happened, that he long ago forgot. How could you forget it? How could you bring it back? You forgot it. It's not forgotten on one level, but it's always there. So the same idea, just using it as an analogy, same idea, that neshama is always there. It's always there. Kamo sar hanimtza b'shvia, like an officer who's found in captivity. Shigam b'yoso b'shvia, even though he's in captivity, levdom aloso, l'gabi yishetya. His level isn't lost. He's a five-star general. He has all the purple hearts. He's done so many heroic things. That's in him. Upetenua, next page, achas yochel achzul kadmosa. With one movement, he can go back to the way he was before it. All right. So let's jump down to footnote 31. He says, "Vezel atam shekilu yud gimel midos ah harachamim dechodesh elo yochel la'orer gam adam shuv bechinas midbar ruchani lefi shegam achot yisohu." That's why when Hashem influences our environment in Elul with the 13 attributes of mercy, even the lowest level, just a hint of encouragement, it's able to arouse within a person who's even of the aspect of a desert spiritually, because even though he sinned, he is still a Yisrael. He's still able to be touched. Now this explains one part of the analogy that was given long ago that I said is going to be filled in over here. Something missing, still in the analogy that wasn't perfect, that he adds in over here. This explains now what we can imply from the analogy of the king in the field, where the way the Rebbe worded the analogy, which seemed a little bit odd at the time, that the people of the city go out to him. If the whole point of the analogy was to say that the king is going out to the people far away, so it should say that the people in the desert are going out to the field to him. It doesn't say that. The analogy says the people of the city go out to greet the king. But the people in the city, we said, those are people that already are close to Hashem. So how does that fit into the analogy? You understand the problem with the analogy? If the analogy would say the king goes out to the fields, and people in the fields can greet him. People in the deserts can go and greet him. It doesn't say that. It says the people of the city go out to greet him. Well, but the city in the analogy is those that are close to Hashem. So how does that fit into the analogy? So he explains, Shevazem Magish, the Rebbe is stressing in this point, Shekol Ish Yisrael Mitzad Penimi Yusovats Musohu Begeder Ansheoir, that every Jew, because of his internal essence, he's always categorized as a city dweller. What do you mean? Brackets. Shiru'im l'diras melech. He's befitting to live in the king's palace, in the city. Klomer l'his galus nitzas haloki amachayas navshon. He's capable of revealing that godly spark within himself. How do you have a Baal Tshuva come along and then one fell swoop change his life? And then become in a few years a big Talmud Chacham, bigger than others? Because he always had it in him. If he didn't have it in him, he couldn't do this. Couldn't do it. So that means he always was a city dweller. Even when he's out in the field, in the desert. He just didn't remember that he was in the city. That's the whole idea. Because he has the potential of being a city dweller. He really is a city dweller. Just not at that address presently. You understand? That's what the Rebbe is saying. The people of the city, even though they're really not coming from the city to the king in the field. They're coming from the desert, but he's a city dweller inherently. Do you understand? That's what the analogy was saying. Yotzin anshei ha'ir, people who are capable of being a city dweller, go out to him. And why else would going out of the king arouse them to want to greet him unless they inherently have that desire to be the person who lives in the city? Because really, in essence, they are city slickers, as it were. So there's a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, because what do we call Esav? What one of the terms was Esav called? He's called an Ish Ha Sadeh. Ish HaSadeh. Now with the Rebbe's analogy, it's beautiful. He's an Ish HaSadeh. He's not an Ish HaIr. Esav is never a city person. He never can be comfortable in the city. He never can be comfortable with the king. He's an Ish HaSadeh. He's a man of the field. Meaning to say, I don't do anything with God in mind. That's my essence. I don't do anything with God in mind. Right, that's the definition of Esav, and anyone who descends from Esav, all the Western civilization, Rome, everything, Western United States, Canada, Europe, it's all Esav. They don't do anything for God. You know, they may even be religious people, but they don't do it for God. They do it for themselves, and God becomes a tool in which they get what they want. But it's not, there's nothing, they don't do anything for God. It's in the field. Okay, that's the difference. But a Jew is always understood as an Anshayir, a man of the city. A man who intuitively, intrinsically, and by nature is one that is close to Hashem. So that's what the Jew is. So let's go back upstairs into the Chassidus Mufaris. So that's what you really are. So no matter how many sins you've done, you're still the officer who's in captivity. In other words, what's captured you? What has captured you? The body desires. That body that you got, that's been fooled by everything out there, and by the glitz and the lights and all that stuff, and believes that to be true. It's imprisoned in the neshama. The neshama is dying to get out. Mom, she just needs an opportunity to get out. So then, if you're really that connected, you should be feeling a lot of pain, just like the toenail feels a lot of pain. So let's continue. Fourth line on the right hand side. Vim came. Tamachote tzorch lahargish as a cave rachmonis shalanit to saloki shabo. So the sinner should feel a tremendous amount of pain and rachmonis for this godly spark inside of him. Ukashaina margish, if you don't feel anything, I raise a simon shenichris lagamri mishrasho. It's a sign that it's totally cut off from its roots. The neshama has been totally severed from your reality. It's still there, but it's totally severed. And the pain that it feels, that the damage that has been created to it, the distancing, there's no pain felt by the human being because the human being is no longer connected to it. This is an aspect of kares. this is what real kares is all about, you know. You know, this isn't the kind of thing that happens, you know, where you do like one little minor avera. You know, there's enough averas in the Torah that come with kares that it's very easy for one to be in a state of kares. So therefore you don't feel anything. So what hope is there for you? So he continues, still with the Chesmu verse. Ha'is banus b'zeh guva, if you really think about this, Taviu levakeish meis hakadosh baruch hu l'rachem elav v'rachem im rabbi modios al nishmasa shenichas al mishrasha. If you think about it, then you should ask Hashem for so much mercy, even more than before, over your neshama that's been cut off from its roots. Ach bishu atzmai neshayach lehargish rachmonas, even though you're not able to feel the mercy, me'achas shenichas l'gam im mishrasha, because you're totally cut off. Right? If the doctor tells you that your foot's cut off already, you're begging him, please, 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 bring it back. You know, you're not going to feel any more pain. The doctor says, you know, you've been feeling so much pain from this foot for the last 10 years. we've been trying to make your foot better. You know, you've been every day complaining. Well, we took away all the pain, the foot's gone. He said, oh, please bring it back. I'll do anything. I'll do anything to have that pain. I at least had a functional foot. Right? You feel terrible. The Jew would realize the fact you don't feel any pain is prima facie evidence that you've lost contact with your neshama. If you lost contact with your neshama, that's bad news. That's bad news. You know, that's the famous story that you all know. Right? In 1967, when they retook Yerushalayim, and the soldiers are crying at the Kaisel, and there's two soldiers at a distance watching what's going on, and they have no idea of the preciousness of the moment, right? And one of the soldiers is crying, and the other secular soldier asks him, what are you crying for? You're not a religious guy. So he says, I'm crying because I'm not crying. That so many people understand this to be a monumental event, and I don't see anything that's going on over here. I must be out to lunch. That takes a certain sensitivity, because the other soldier wasn't crying. It's exactly the levels we're talking about. So that one soldier, he was crying because at least he realized, to have rachmanis on himself, that all these people feel that this was, they were fighting and risking their lives just like I was. And they feel they were fighting for something. And this wall is something, and I don't feel the wall is anything. So that means it must be that there's something wrong with me. And that's what the Rebbe is saying here. That's something that should evoke rachmanis, the fact that you don't feel any damage to yourself. As a matter of fact, you think everything's pretty fine, because financially you're doing well. You have everything that a North American can want. You don't feel that God has punished you, or you're not interested. And now you're coming to Rosh Hashanah and you don't feel anything. That's the worst thing in the world. This is not meant for secular people. The Rebbe was not writing his words for secular Jews. He was writing his words for Orthodox observant Jews who are not feeling anything in the month of Elul. He says compassion should be welling up inside you, because look at the destruction you've caused to this point. And the truth of the matter is that, certainly what we're saying in terms of our relationship with Hashem certainly can be applicable in relationships, you know, with people, between a husband and a wife, where they've done certain damage to a relationship, where there's no feelings of pain anymore. People do certain averus within the context of still being married, then the feelings just aren't there anymore. There's no feelings. You don't care about the other person, and that's a bad sign. If you don't feel any pain yet, you know, if you do something wrong to your spouse and you feel bad, that's a good sign. It's a good sign. You're still connected. But if you don't even feel bad, you don't even feel bad, what's going on? That means there's nothing there anymore. There's no connection either. So for that, there's a tremendous, opportunity and to be very sad with oneself. As he explained in another place, so let's continue around the bottom line of the right hand column. Bakeshas Rachman Yisru, this request for mercy. Shemavakesh Rachman Yisru, she'enu margish believer Rachmanis. He's asking for mercy even though he himself doesn't feel any compassion on himself. Next column. Heldas Mashvur B'Makamachas is explained in another place. Beferish Hatfila, in explaining one of the prayers we say, Barachamecha Harabim Rachem Aleinu. We say, Hashem, with your great mercy, have mercy upon us. Shadir Bazeh, that what can be noted here, the words Barachamecha Harabim, we need a lot of mercy from Hashem. Sha'anu Mavakshim Rachme Kodesh Baruch Hu Gam Kishe'en Anu Mevinim Godel Harachmanus. When we ask Hashem to give us a lot of mercy, even though we don't even understand how much mercy is necessary here. U'kamochan Kan, similarly here, Ta'av Sha'en Anu Magishim Es Godel Harachmanus, even though we can't sense the tremendous the state of Rachmanis that we're in, how nebuch, how terrible the situation is. Mikomakam Rachemel and still Hashem have compassion upon us. Barachamech Arvim, with your great compassion. So in the, you don't have to turn back, I'll just speak it out in footnote, there's notes in the back, note number 33, he brings out from the Tzemach Tzedek, who explains this a little bit more. He says, you could look at the back, it's on page Lamed if you want to see it. It's in the back, page Lamed, left hand side, lower side, 33. Very interesting remez here, beautiful remez. B'kitzur Tzemach Tzedek Khan, Tzemach Tzedek, his grandson, you know, abridged the shmooz, would go over, they'd all go over, these are big shmoozes. So when he goes over, he brought in this idea, it's in brackets. He says, kares, hu neged b'chinas keser. He says, the word kares has the same letters as the word keser. You understand? Keser is the first sphera. That's the most intimate connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The will. Right? We explain Keser is the will. The will that drives everything. All the midos are driven by that will. And that will, that's the top. That's right at the top. There's nothing more connected to you than your will. Right? And the Keser, what's the pure Keser that every Jew has and is supposed to bring out and to manifest? Is the Keser of, as we've explained, the Otzer V'Yerushalayim, the treasure house of God-fearing, to totally sense the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how close you are, and everything you want to do in life is to enhance that closeness to Hashem. That's Keser. So we know, quite often, the same letters, if you jungle the letters around, you get the total opposite. Kares is the exact opposite, you're totally disconnected. The Kavana, so the intention is, the Kasher HaMachuy of Kares, that anyone who is now sentenced to kares, meaning to say, shenichras mishrash is called from his root. Mo'orer, now he's explaining even more. Mo'orer racham elyonim. This arouses the highest rachmanis. Hareza, which is rachamim rabim, which is a tremendous amount of rachamim. Shem rachamim elyonim, this is the highest mercy, shalomala, mimididav agos, beyond measurement. This mercy of Hashem, which is what? Mibachinas ha-keser. And where does things beyond regular come from? It comes from keser. Shalamala mihishtal shalus. It's higher than any of the lower permutations that come from this. Because keser, as you know, the Tomer Dvora, Cordovero says that the 13 attributes of mercy come from which sphera? It comes from keser. As we said earlier in this series, it comes from keser. Keser is the will of Hashem. What's the will of Hashem? The will of Hashem is the Jewish people should be eternal. That's the ultimate will of Hashem. It should be a permanent people that Hashem is connected to, that He can bestow His kindness to. That's the eternal desire of Hashem. That's the ultimate will of Hashem. And when the Jews do terrible affairs, we should get wiped out. It's only because it doesn't make any sense why Hashem should keep us anymore. But it's that will that Hashem, that we should still be around. That's the Keser. That's the Yigil Midas. So the Keser is there. You know, when do you know you have a Mida in the truest sense? When you really need it. When do you really need the Keser? When you're at the point of oblivion. And it's only because of the Keser does the Jew stay. So Keser is there for Kares. When the Jew has behaved in such a way that he should be cut off and there should be no connection anymore, we don't deserve to exist anymore, Keser is there for that. And that's the Rachamim Rabim. That's a tremendous Rachamim, a tremendous compassion he has. Which is going up to the highest desires that transcend all logic. It's right beyond the logic now. And that's Keser's the crown. It's on top of the brain. It's on top of the cortex. We're not even thinking anymore. It's not a question of thought. It's a question of Hashem saying there cannot be this reality. It cannot be that there's no Jewish people. It cannot be that the Jews are cut off from me. They have to come back. And how does that happen? The leg's been severed. So we're going to see how even though the leg's been severed, Hashem's a good doctor. Used to be, not so long ago, your foot was cut off, it never got put back on. But medical science is ready, can put back a foot, I think. No, put back a finger for sure. So Hashem's medical advancements, can, even if it's cut off, it can still be returned. That's how powerful tshuva is. Because of the mita of keser can undo the damage of kares. That's what's happening. And that's the state that a person finds himself. And that is the tremendous As he says more in this, these footnotes in the back are amazing. He says, you look at the next paragraph, he says, that's what King David says, Ki avi ve'imi azavuni. King David says, my mother and father left me. Vashem yasveni. Hashem gathered me in on a simple level, because we know that David's father didn't think that David was his natural son. I don't want to go into the details of that. So my parents may have left me, but Hashem, you gathered me in, which is certainly true on a simple level. But on a mystical level, there's so much more going on over here. You know, because, you know, Abba and Ima is the Mida of Chachma and Bina, mystically. That's in the brain. Even common sense has left me. According to common sense, I should be cut off. But Hashem, that's above that, never left me. He collected me in. And he explains, Achiluk bein Av HaRachman, when we use different terms, there's one term called Av HaRachamon, with a nun sofis, and that means the compassion father, as the brackets say, with compassion that still makes sense, and Av HaRachamim, which we say before Torah reading every Monday and Thursday, right? Shem Rachamim Gedolim B'Lishir. It's among abundant mercy without any measurement. Even though the seichel, the intellect can't forgive. But beyond the seichel, there can be forgiveness. Vashem Yasveni, Hashem gathers me in. Ainu Bechinas Ava Rachamim. That's the essence of Ava Rachamim. The father of Rachmon is a Rachamim, plural. Vema Rachamim Bechinas Kesher Shulman Mechach Mina. That's the Rachamim from the level of Kesher that's above Chachman Bina. Davi v'imi heim chach bina, because father and mother are code words for chachman bina. V'Hashem, but the word Hashem, hu gili ein sof baruch hu atzum amish, that's the revelation of the never-ending light of Hashem. Yes, v'ini will gather me. Hashem will always gather me in, even though human logic won't. So when a person says, comes to Ella and says, you know, I've been so bad, there's no way even God would want me. It's not logical that any God would want me for all the terrible things that I have done. I've done such terrible things. You're right. Logically, nobody would take you back. And you certainly wouldn't take any back who's done it to you. But Hashem goes beyond the logic. And that's the Av HaRachamim. Avinu Av HaRachamim, that he's willing to do that. And that comes from the Keser, which goes to the deepest areas. Okay, we'll have to continue this idea of the deepest area tomorrow. But it's clear that if at this point in the game you have not been filled with Rachamim over the damage you've done to yourself, that means you've done more damage than you can believe. And as we daven today that Hashem should help us, you know, we have to realize how much Rachamim Rabim is necessary. Rachamim Rabim means I don't deserve it, I shouldn't get it, I'm still asking you for it. We'll see. We'll continue tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem.